Welcome back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis with the Downtown Alliance, joined today by my very good friend, Salt Lake County Mayor Ben McAdams. Mayor, thanks for being here.
Yeah, great to be with you, Jason.
I know that respectfully I should always call you Mayor McAdams, but I've known you since long before you were the mayor of Salt Lake County, so I feel like I should call you Ben sometimes.
You should call me Ben. I don't like to be called mayor.
You don't?
It's just so formal.
It's a little officious, but...
Yeah, Ben works.
You're more of a casual sort of political leader.
You know, I honestly consider it a compliment when I meet strangers who I've never met before and they come up and call me Ben. I want to be the type of person that's approachable enough that people feel comfortable calling me by my first name, so it's a compliment.
Okay, I'm calling you Ben. That's it. I will always call you Ben from now on. That's good to know. So yesterday, on Wednesday, you helped to orchestrate what I thought was a really thoughtful gesture at the State Capitol building, kind of reassuring people in our community who may be having concerns right now about where you as a leader and many other leaders stand in terms of defending the rights of immigrants and refugees and anyone else who may be on the fringe, who might not feel as like a mainstream member of our community. Can you talk a little bit about that and why you felt it was important to organize that and who was there?
Yeah, so, you know, we've been getting a lot of calls in my office really after the presidential election from new Americans, from refugees who are afraid. Some of them are afraid. Some of them are just worried. They don't know, uncertain, don't know what the future holds for them. And we've gotten a lot of calls from people who are just expressing those concerns. And, you know, I think I share the same concerns. I don't know what the new administration brings. There's certainly some alarming rhetoric that was thrown around on the campaign trail. And I think we all have some concerns about what's going to happen with that. But one thing that I know is that in Utah, we've taken a different path than a lot of the places around the country as it relates to immigration and new Americans and refugees. And it's been refreshing to see, you know, not only Democrats, but Republicans and various faiths mm-hmm. who will step forward and say, you know, these refugee communities, these new American communities, they make us stronger as a community, and stand up and have some pride in that and stand with them. And that's set Utah apart from the nation.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the message I wanted to send to these new American communities was that we stand with you. We value your presence in our community. We want you to continue to contribute to our community. And so we organized a rally at the state capitol and invited, you know, various faiths and faith groups and refugee communities and immigrant communities to all come and stand in unity. But we also invited Republicans, and you know, I even had my good friend House Speaker Greg Hughes, mm-hmm. who was a Trump supporter.
Yeah, prominent Trump supporter.
Prominent Trump supporter, which I think is disturbing to me, and we joke about that. Right. He and I are in real life, we are friends. You know, but I thought it's one thing to have the Democratic mayor who has a long history of supporting immigrant and refugee communities, but we need to have others there too and so I thought it would be great to invite Speaker Hughes. I know him to be a person who was motivated by principles. Sometimes his principles are different than mine, but he's motivated by principles. He's motivated because he cares about our community. And I know that he supports our new American communities and would want them to be reassured as well, that we stand with them, we value them. You know, some of the things that we're seeing is the bullying and that in schools.
Yeah.
And you know, we want to take a strong stand against that. That is not acceptable in Utah. It's not part of who we are. We are a community that was founded by refugees in, you know, 1847, and it's part of who we are. And we want to stand and show our support for that. So it was a pretty good showing of unity. We had several hundred people show up, and it was a good moment.
Yeah, it was really, I think, underscored a lot of those values that you alluded to that helped make Utah special and unique. And I thought that the speaker, Greg Hughes, was actually pretty assertive and eloquent when he talked about everybody being one American. And you know, I've struggled through this election trying to reconcile people who I know who maybe have voted in the presidential election in a way that I wouldn't have voted, and yet I know to be good people, and that's been difficult for me. And it was helpful for me to see Greg there talking about his belief in what Utah stands for and the values that we have and the importance of embracing immigrants and embracing refugees in ways that maybe some of other President-elect Trump supporters have not vocalized. But he was sincere in that. It was really clear that he really feels that way, and it's I think, reassuring to those communities to have leaders, as you said, bipartisan Democrats and Republicans, stand up and say, we've got your back. We will protect your rights. We understand your value to our community. It was, it was pretty important to do that.
Yeah, I still don't understand why somebody would vote for Trump. You know, I'm a bridge builder and a consensus builder. I don't understand that. Nevertheless, you know, we've seen some things in the media over the last few weeks since the election of some really disturbing groups and comments that have been made not by the president-elect himself, but by some of his supporters that are very racist.
Yeah.
And I think it's easy to say that since some of his supporters are racist, all of his supporters are racist. And I want to differentiate. You know, I don't believe Speaker Hughes is a racist.
Yeah. Clearly he made that point.
He's
clear, very clear about that today.
And there are reasons why some people would have voted for Donald Trump that are not divisive reasons, but based in principle. Again, I understand them.
Yeah.
Not my principles, but I think it's important to see that there are people who are value motivated, who also cherish our diverse communities here, recognize that it's an important part of us and that they belong here in our community.
Yeah.
And so I think that was the unifying message. There have been a lot of anti-Trump rallies, and I believe those have a place. That's part of our American values of free speech, to speak out strongly about something you believe. But there's also a time to come together and say, you know, that I don't know what policies will be proposed by the new administration, but it's refreshing to see people come together and say, this is something we will stand for. We will stand for our new Americans.
So today is Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And you referenced this when you spoke. How important is it? Why is Thanksgiving maybe a day that is more important to think about immigration or immigrants or people coming to this country? I mean, there's some symbolism there that I think is, for one thing, being thankful, but then there are other elements of that you alluded to.
Yeah, I mean, Thanksgiving is a very much an American holiday where we recognize the blessings that we've received. And, you know, we all know the tradition of Thanksgiving with the pilgrims who were helped by the Native Americans and after a rough year and the harvest and all of those things that we know are the tradition of Thanksgiving. But I think it shouldn't be lost on us that Thanksgiving is also a celebration of welcoming new Americans to this continent, that the pilgrims weren't, yes, they were the forefathers of the country, but they were also immigrants who came to this country. And but for the hospitality of the Native Americans, may have died.
Yeah.
And the hospitality of those who were here first, of welcoming those who have come here seeking hope and prosperity and fell on hard times, and yet the generosity of those who were here for those who have come, the new Americans being the pilgrims at that time, is a great symbol of Thanksgiving. And so when we were looking for a time to do this, we thought that the day before Thanksgiving would be a perfect time, because that is another message of Thanksgiving. It's one of not only gratitude, but gratitude to those who have helped us achieve our successes. We're all immigrants, but also a time to maybe reach out to new Americans. This is an American holiday.
Yeah.
Let's make it a holiday not just for the Europeans who migrated here a couple hundred years ago, but an American holiday for the Somalis and the Latin Americans and the, you know, the refugees from the Congo and all over the world who are first-generation Americans. Let's show them what this is and why this is their holiday. It's not just our holiday.
Yeah. One of the things that I liked about the event, you brought in voices from the Islamic community, from the Hispanic community. I mean, two populations that may be feeling particularly vulnerable right now. It seemed that they also expressed a feeling of gratitude, of being surrounded in a way by community leaders who are saying, we've got your back, we're going to watch out for you, we're in this together. And that's meaningful.
It is meaningful. And I think it's something about who we are as Utahns, too, that, you know, the Muslim community is a community that I know well. They know me and other political leaders. We're not strangers in their mosques.
Mm-hmm.
The Hispanic community, Luis Garza from who spoke at the event.
Yeah.
Comunidades Unidas spoke at the event, and he's somebody that you and I work with, Jason, and our New Americans work. And these are people who are around the tables of decision-making tables in our community right now. But they're inclusive, and I think it's important for other members of these diverse communities to see their leaders are involved in the decision-making tables of our community, and they are included.
Yeah.
That this wasn't an event. This wasn't the first time that we met or the first time we've come together, but they're included. These are people who call me by my first name because they know me, not because
you're good branding. Yeah. You got a friend in Dan. Yeah.
And I think it's important for others to see that. I think it's important for our diverse community to see that. But you know who else I think it's important for them to see is our kids in our high schools and our junior high. Some of these kids who might now think that bullying is okay, want them to see that it's not okay, that that it's not us and them. It's not European Americans and Latin Americans or Latinos or...
Or skin colors.
Or skin color.
White people versus other people.
But we are all a community, and we will not stand for bullying in our high schools and our junior high schools. We will not stand for bullying in our workplaces. Yeah. That's not acceptable behavior in Utah or America.
Yeah. We have a proud tradition, and when we come back after break, I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that may have led up to this sentiment the community leaders have, including some work that our governor Herbert did in welcoming refugees, Syrian refugees particularly, in the Utah Compact that you played a role in. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will continue our conversation, a very special edition of Downtown SLC with Salt Lake County Mayor Ben McAdams. We will be right back to continue our conversation with Ben. We are back. You are listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Joined today by Salt Lake County Mayor Ben McAdams. Ben, thanks again for being here. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, Jason, thank you.
I wanted to go back about 6 years to the creation of the Utah Compact, and I don't know that all the listeners are aware of the important role that you played in that. In helping to write that, produce that. At the time, I think you were working for Mayor Becker in Salt Lake City. You were a senior advisor to Mayor Becker. And I think you were also a state senator. I don't know if you'd been elected yet. I think you were six years ago.
In 2010, I was in the state senate.
Okay, so you were a senator and working for Mayor Becker. And we had this lunch meeting at a downtown restaurant to talk about this idea. And at the time, it was also kind of a scary time for immigrants. I think... Arizona had passed some legislation that was difficult, and it seemed like Utah was moving in that direction. And you were one of a handful of people who came together to really lay the foundation for the Utah Compact. You haven't always gotten credit for that or talked about it a lot, but I happen to have been in that room, so I know you were there. So I just want to acknowledge your role in helping to produce that, because even today it still has reverberations. People were talking about it.
Well, the Utah Compact really is a moment that Utah shined, and it was people from across the political spectrum and diverse ideologies who came together. And, I don't think you get the credit you deserve in that, too.
I got to meet President Obama in the Oval Office. I've gotten plenty of credit for that.
Well, you convened that. I was so honored to be a part of those conversations in crafting the Utah Compact. One of the things that I thought was genius about the Utah Compact when we did it is we were very careful to not have authorship of that. We did not want it to be Ben McAdams' document or the chamber's document. Yep. And now I think it's okay to talk about that, but we wanted our community to own this. And so the Utah Compact was signed by everyone, and it just existed.
Yeah.
And it was such a unifying document when we brought together at a very formal and celebratory signing ceremony, signing the Utah Compact with diverse communities and community leaders and faith leaders and government leaders from all parties coming together to sign that. I travel from time to time in my job. I go back to meetings in Washington, and the Utah Compact is known by people who have never been to Utah, but they know this is an example of bringing a community together in collaboration to take a stand. You know, I think you're right that Arizona had adopted Senate Bill 1070. Mm-hmm. That was a very divisive anti-immigrant bill.
Really draconian enforcement measures. I mean,
very
that was the
draconian
thing that I think scared a lot of law enforcement, religious leaders, business leaders. We were terrified of that happening in Utah.
And it had been introduced in the Utah legislature. Mm-hmm. Legislators saying they were going to pass it. The politics were in favor of passing it. It was an election year. A lot of people grandstanding, trying to one up each other and being anti-immigrant. It was a really awful climate, and we knew, sitting back a little bit, that how destructive that would be on so many levels, how harmful it would be to immigrant families when you're shipping a primary breadwinner back to their country of origin with kids who may not speak only speak English. dividing families, harming our environment, harming our workforce, harming our economy, the potential to drive a wedge between law enforcement and our immigrant communities where we need a trust. And it was going to be so destructive on so many levels, and we knew that. But how do you stand in the way of a political tidal wave that was coming at us?
It seemed like a freight train.
It
was really hard to change that. Yeah.
So we came together with these guiding principles, and I played a small role, but I'm proud of the role that I played. I'm very, all the time when I see the Utah Compact, I show people my signature right on the front page there, the Utah Compact. Proud of our community for what we did with the Utah Compact. And the Utah Compact was referenced at the rally yesterday, too, as a shining moment where we came together, and that, some years after the Utah Compact, it continues to guide us. As I thought, as I was preparing for the rally and thinking about what I might say, I wanted to send a signal to the people who were calling my office, or those who might be worried and afraid. I wanted to tell them it was going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I don't know that I can say that. I don't know what of the policies that were talked about during the campaign, some of them are scary.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I can say it's going to be okay.
Predict the future.
I can't predict.
You can't.
But I think I can say we've got some good things going here in Utah. We have stood in support of refugees. We've stood in support of immigrants. And we're going to stand with you over the next few years, that you're not alone. Mm-hmm. And I'm optimistic maybe that that draconian policies won't be enacted at the federal level, and hopeful that they won't be enacted. But I know that there will be bipartisan support in Utah and around this country for sensible reform to immigration, a compassionate view of compassionate view towards our new Americans, an inclusive view. I am optimistic in those regards. Well, there are no guarantees. I hope that our immigrant and new American and refugee communities understand that we value them, we appreciate what they bring to our community, and they're not alone. They're not going to go into, if there are trying times ahead, they will not be facing those trying times alone.
Yeah. I've said to a few people that if persecution does happen, that's the day that I convert to Islam. I will convert to Islam and sign my name on any registry just as a form of protest.
You know they can't drink wine, though. So
that would be problematic. Okay. They're not supposed to. Mormons aren't supposed to either, and it hasn't really stopped me yet.
Okay.
So I have this question for you, and I've been thinking about it a little bit. So Republicans on a national level control their White House and both the Senate and the House of Representatives. For a long time, an excuse has been made of why immigration reform can't happen is because of this partisan bickering, where Republicans would blame Democrats and Democrats would blame Republicans. And candidly, I think both parties have used immigration as a political football for their own purposes. Do you feel like Republicans have a special responsibility now to do two things? One is to pass immigration reform and find some system that works, that can be consistent with their conservative values. Like, I get it. That's cool. And also, do you think that they have an obligation to do what Greg Hughes did, which is speak out on some of the excesses of the alt-right movement or the far right wing of the Republican Party, to tamp that down because they're associated as being with the Republican Party? Do you feel like Republicans have a special responsibility
I think they do have a special responsibility. I think one of the things when I say that I'm optimistic, I even though the Republicans, I'm a Democrat, but the Republicans control the House and the Senate and the presidency, I don't believe there's a majority of the Republicans who support the draconian proposals that are out there.
Yeah.
So that, I think that's reassuring. But the biggest thing that worries me is that some people in our communities around the country feel that racism and bullying and discrimination are okay now, that they've been, that they're,
we sent a message
that it's okay.
Yeah.
So I do think there's a responsibility for government leaders, Republicans and Democrats, to stand up and condemn discrimination of any kind. And that's what was important today. And that's why it was important. I asked my friend Speaker Hughes to come, because I think it's important for him to stand up and say, he's a conservative, I'm a Democrat, but we are going to condemn discrimination. We are going to hold up values of inclusiveness for our diverse communities. I think that is a responsibility that all of us share, to speak up promptly and boldly and loudly in support of inclusiveness for our diverse communities and against bullying. So we send the signal to those kids in junior highs and high school or in the workplace that bullying is never acceptable. Now, as for passing legislation and reform, yes, I think there's another responsibility now that there's Republicans control the presidency and the House and the Senate. to enact. We all know that the immigration system is broken. We need to enact reform. The thing that I hope, and I think Democrats should have learned a lesson in healthcare reform, let's not make it a lonely victory.
Yeah.
Now's the time to be inclusive. I would like to see whatever happens at the national level to be bipartisan. When I reference healthcare reform, I think one of the mistakes the Democrats made was that they did it without a single Republican vote.
It came back to haunt them.
It came back to haunt them.
Yeah.
Let's build a coalition for sensible reform, not ram through something just because you can, because you have a majority. Let's build an inclusive package of reform proposals. We know the system is broken. It's bubbling up in the sentiments of the American population. Let's move through some reforms that are sensible. Let's not let it be a lonely victory for Republicans. Be inclusive of others around the table. But it is time to get something done. It's past time to get something done on immigration reform. It is harming our citizens. It's harming our immigrants. It's harming our economy. The system's broken, and we got to fix it.
Excellent. Mayor Ben McAdams, thanks so much for coming on today. I know you're a busy guy, and I appreciate you taking the time out. And happy Thanksgiving to you and Julie.
Thank you, Jason. You too.
You've been listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. You can join us every Thursday at 10 a.m., where we explore the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center.